perhaps you've heard of or read a famous story involving two doors. It's called The Lady or the Tiger, written in the 19th century. A very well-written short story involving a king, a princess, a condemned man, and two doors which stand before him as he's brought into the ancient arena. One of the unique features of this narrative is that it ends without an ending. The princess, who loves the condemned man and who is loved by the condemned man, has found out that which awaits the man, depending on the door which he opens. And as he enters the arena, she signals to him very secretively to go to the right door and open it. What awaits him there? The tiger that will rip him to shreds, or the fairest maiden in the land whom he will instantly be required to wed? Nobody knows, because the author doesn't say. Famous as it is, however, that is not the greatest account involving two doors or two ways. A far more important non-fiction account, which happens to involve each and every one of us, is found recorded in the scriptures, and thankfully, it does not leave us in doubt as to the outcome, but clearly reveals that which awaits those who pass through one of the two options. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One of the elements found in both the account of the lion or the tiger or the lady and our own life's narrative as found in the scriptures is the element of condemnation. As was the case with the man in the short story, every single one of us has been condemned by the law. Our sins have placed us in the position of being those who deserve the sentence of death. We've broken every commandment of the holy God and deserve his righteous punishment. Fast bound in Satan's chains we lay. Death brooded darkly o'er us. Sin was our torment night and day. In sin our mothers bore us. We placed ourselves under the wrath of God by virtue of our virtueless life and behavior. And as a result, we're headed for destruction. The only thing that stood before the human race right after the fall into sin was the gate of hell. The God of all grace, however, observed our desperate situation and put into place a door, a way, through which we could find restoration, rescue, and life. He provided a way not only to escape the punishment that we deserved, but to enter into the glorious banquet, marriage feast to come. Trouble is, the devil was not about to give up his prized possession of the human race. He was determined to hold on tightly to us, to his prize, and came up with a highly clever way to accomplish his goal. He disguised the gate to hell in such a way as to make it appear to the world not only as the right, but even the desirable route to take. The result is that there are two doors, two ways, so to speak. There are two spiritual routes or ways that can be followed, one of which leads to life and the other to death. The door on the left represents all the non-Christian religions of the world and how truly deceptive they can be, skillfully designed to appeal to man's natural instincts. They pretend to offer all that is necessary for eternal life, presenting skillful speakers and at times even coming up with workers of wonders. They promise good things for this life as well as for the hereafter. However, they are empty promises. Paul speaks of them as leaders having a form of godliness but denying its power. And the Bible makes clear that the following of such a way can only lead to eternal destruction. Turn to the one way that stands out from all the rest, however, and you're on the way to life. Way with a capital W. Jesus said clearly, "I am the way." He distinguishes himself from all other religious figures, and does so not only because he is the only Son of God, but because of what he, as the Son of God, did. He is the door, the only door, with a cross. Any religious route that is devoid of the cross of Christ cannot possibly lead to the Father and certainly cannot save. Paul told the Corinthians, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And why is that? Because those who stand condemned need to be purged of their sins. Those who have broken God's law need atonement. And the only way that such purging and atoning could transpire was to have the Holy Son of God shed His holy blood in our place on the cross. And since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Come to the cross, trust Christ, and live. The law, no peace can ever give, no comfort and no blessing. God placed His Son on the cross as the costly price and sacrifice for our sins, and now directs us to that Son and that cross as the only way through whom we will receive eternal life. All who approach God by way of the cross in faith have access to the Father and live. Pastor Nolting tells of the time that he visited a man who was ill, and as the gospel message was brought to this man once again, he said that he has, right there in his room, a constant reminder of Christ's cross. He then pointed to the 6-panel door that was hanging, the door, the design which includes the shape of the cross. And I saw online that this particular design has come to be known as the Christian door. Perhaps you recognize the look not only from Ingram Hall, but now also from the Academic Center. Every time we enter or exit the building, we're given a fine reminder of the fact that it is through the cross that we have gained access to the Heavenly Father, His kingdom, and His paradise, and nothing more is needed. Though we stand condemned by the law, we now also stand completely justified by the blood of Christ. And therefore, with confidence, can approach the Heavenly Father, joining the psalmist in praying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We sing of this way in the form of Hymn 355.